The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
There is a organized campaigning that goes on in the run-up to the Oscars with pressure and canvassing and influencing, and no better man to give us an inside view on that than John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, of course, 6 to 7 here on Saturdays on News Talk. John, I've heard Matt Damon talk about the Oscar campaigning and saying how bleak and joyless it is. How does it work? Because surely you're just handed a video, you look at it. If you like the film, you like it. If you don't, you don't. How do you campaign me into liking a movie I didn't like?
Oh, it's a dark art. And the recent, you know, estimates are that something like $500 million is spent on it. So if you do a tally, certainly last year, the top 10 movies didn't have the same production costs as campaigning did, right? So in theory, you're right. The way it happens, especially now, is that people who are voting, it's just shy of 10,000 people in the Academy. 25% are outside of America, it has to be said, now have to log on and watch these movies on a screener, and you'll be able to see whether they've watched them or not. But outside of all that, what campaigns do is, like all campaigning, puts movies in the minds of these voters. And don't forget, right, so that's phase two. But in, not to bore you, but in phase one, actors vote for other actors. Directors vote for other directors. So there is 10,000 of those people for the whole categories. So there is about 1,200 people who will vote for who the best actor is. So by that token, if there's five or six, you would only need 250 votes or thereabouts to be nominated, right? So that's actually a very small number. So the campaigning starts well before this kind of season. It starts last year, and it starts with parties, screenings at festivals, reports of standing ovations, ads in the Trade Weekly saying "for your consideration." And that's before the huge media round starts. Al Pacino, I read his memoir, I think it was last year or the year before, and he won for Scent of a Woman. Rightly so, I would say. For a fully sighted man to play a blind man without sunglasses was a hell of a performance, despite the hoo-ah, it was a great performance, right? But he said, basically, I knew what I was going to have to do. I don't enjoy that stuff, but I was going to have to go on the merry-go-round of interviews. And he signed up.
Can I ask on that, John? There is a theory that says that when you look at US politics before it all went a bit sideways,
yes,
that, you know, the person with the best funding would win. Mm. But usually you could also reverse that and say that the person with the best polling tended to get the best funding because the money follows where there's potential. That's the thing with the acting, with any of the Oscars. Surely the movies that are going to win are going to win anyway, and that the sort of campaigning just plays into what was already a foregone conclusion. No?
I it's more nuanced than that. No, I'm not saying money is buying them. Absolutely not. And you could wonder why a movie like The Shape of Water from a couple of years ago, which is, I enjoyed it, but it's a very strange movie. And people literally went, what the hell is this? There's a giant fish man in a bat. This is not cinema. But by the great Benicio del Toro. But that movie would not have won had there not been an element of campaigning, I don't think. And that element of campaigning sometimes can even begin in production, that the trades will carry stories, new movie, all about this, which is kind of Oscar baity kind of stuff, you know? So for instance, with Hamlet. Now, Hamlet was going to do very well, and rightly so. But, you know, 18 months ago, there was rumours of an adaptation of Maggie O'Farrell's beloved book, and Chloe Zhao was directing it, about, you know, Shakespeare possibly writing a version of Hamlet based on the death of a son. What was that? That's Oscar bait kind of stuff. And there is a train set in motion for that kind of thing very early on. I'm not saying it's not a worthy winner if it does win, but I think the brilliance of the movie and the campaign behind it kind of go hand in hand.
Talk to me about the Oscar baity nature of movies, because I'm always surprised that Avatar did, well, I'm surprised at everything about Avatar, but I'm particularly surprised that Avatar did so well in the Oscars, because you would have thought that's the kind of thing that people who feel good about their art would turn their noses up at favour of Shane.
It hasn't done that well because it hasn't won awards really outside of its special effects and all that screensaver kind of nonsense that it employs. And I'm not a fan of those movies at all, to be honest with you. But the Oscars are attempting, after years of criticism, to be more popcorn-y slightly. So, for instance, this year, and rightly so, F1 is up for Best Picture, which I think is great. Have you seen that? Because that's kind of haven't?
No.
But I thought, as a gearhead, that would be right up your alley.
No, you couldn't. Wild horses wouldn't drag me to watch it.
But that is a good old-fashioned Jerry Bruckheimer, Cars, boys and girls falling in love, second chance stories, and it was very successful, and it's a good story, and it deserves to be included in that. It's not Oscar bait. They're trying to get away from that a bit, but the movie that will win this year, whether it's one battle or after another, Sinners or Hamnet, they're kind of Oscar friendly. You could say Sinners is more genre, so that's somewhat unusual. I do think One Battle After Another will probably win it though.
What impact will the streamers have on what functions as Oscar bait? Again, I was interested in listening to Matt Damon talking about the way that they now structure movies differently for the attention spans that people have on things like Netflix. Is that going to change what the Academy has to accept as good and bad?
I don't think so, no. And I think there's a right kickback against this idea that plots are being restated because people are watching their phones. I mean, that's, to me, that's, you know, the center cannot hold. That's awful. If people are, you know, we're going to reintroduce the plot 20 minutes in because you've been checking your phone. There's already a kickback against that. The streamers are interesting, though, because Netflix are dying to get a best Oscar for best film or an Oscar for best film, which they've never gotten for prestige. And they're desperate for one, I would suggest, because, and this is kind of a crude way of putting it, but this is a horrible way to talk about the art of movie making, but it really strengthens their portfolio. It really does, to have Oscar winners on it. What we have to quickly mention, though, is some of the dirty tricks. And the master of this, and it's no surprise, is Harvey Weinstein, who was pretty rotten and in a way invented modern campaigning to the point that he got Daniel Day-Lewis all those years ago for My Left Foot to stand in front of Congress and talk about disabilities and things like that. But it got worse than that. He spread rumours about Nash, this guy from A Beautiful Mind, that he was a really horrible guy. And it turned out that the Los Angeles Times had got this story from someone in Miramax. Shakespeare in Love, it baffled people as to why that won so many Oscars. And it was simply because he had done all sorts of crazy things, like had sent screeners to people's houses with Shakespearean dressed actors, had these wild kind of parties, orchestrated, you know, the soundtrack and all that kind of thing. He was awful at it. It's no surprise to people that he was the chief ringmaster when it came to Oscar campaigning.
You're betting for Best Picture this time?
It's hard to tell. I think it's between Hamnet and One Battle After Another. But there's a campaign left to be run. It's not till March, so things are going to change.
Now, John, that's the equivalent of the off-the-ball guy saying, well, it'll be a game of two halves. Pick one. Which one are you putting your money on?
I think the Best Picture will go to One Battle After Another. But I do think Jessie Buckley will hands down, and rightly so, win for Best Actress.
John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, available every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, here on News Talk.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.